Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. My new favorite app. This is who you build around. Braden Shewmick. Okay? This is what the Astros are going to build around. You had no idea going into this season.
I love that we get beat 8 in our three-year signing. Well, one-year signing. Well, hopefully.
Why would he opt out?
We're hoping he opts out after 3 starts. But this is the lead.
Listen.
A guy that you literally...
The mound is different. The food you eat at the ballpark, not at the hotel.
People eat in their cars here in this country.
People actually have... There's garbage cans on the streets.
They drive with their knees sometime while they eat...
Oh, I do that all the
chicken
time.
Strips.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Dirty Americans. The mound was so dirty yesterday he could barely pitch.
I'm not sure it was dirty. It's hard. It's too hard. Okay? And...
Air conditioning was too cold.
He was cruising along for 3 innings, okay? A game tied at 2. And then it was bases loaded, nobody out. This is getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
It's not getting better. 11 games under 500 now. Do you think they are going to
No, the answer is no. You keep asking me. Will they be in first place at any point?
No.
Will they be 500?
That's the question.
No.
They're never going to be 500.
I don't know about never again, but...
This year.
No.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
What is that?
You hadn't had that one in a long time.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
It's Nick Saban.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. I mean, this is really a tombstone moment. This is a tombstone moment.
Well, you lost the first 2 in a series where you needed to go at least 4-3. 7-game set that you need to go 4-3. You're 0-2. So, you know, pretty much need to go 4-1 moving forward. I don't know what to say. You're 11 games down. You're the only reason that we're even on life support is this division so booty grease. If it wasn't so booty grease, there just wouldn't even be a conversation right now. We'd already be cooked if we were in a real division.
In booty grease?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's over anyway.
It is, but technically, as a math person, as a numbers guy, I have to tell you, we're still mathematically alive.
Mm-hmm.
At the quarter pole, we're still mathematically
alive. Mathematically. Yeah, in, you know, supposedly.
What do you think about Daryl Morey coming over to take over this team?
How about Daryl Morey get fired finally?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long?
I gotta say, his tenure at Philadelphia, I thought was terrible. I thought it was cartoonish. I thought he was so inventive in the early stages with the Rockets, and there was a time where he just decided, I'm all in with James, and I'm not gonna do anything clever with. He used to trade pieces and get more in return. He would always take a nickel and get a dime back. He was excellent at that. He had a great feel for roster construction. He stole James Harden from Oklahoma City. And then he decided, I'm just all in with James. I'm going to stop doing anything. But and his new thing was, I'm going to add veterans around James. And then it turned into an undying love where every other year, James was getting new mega super extensions. And that became his strategy was just to... You know, plug in older players around him. And Daryl never really found good shooters for a guy who figured out that math is 3 is greater than 2. Did a whole musical based on 3 is greater than 2. I mean, I'm not joking. He wrote a musical. I watched it. It was here locally. He had Michael Lewis from Moneyball come in. Manny from, what was it called? Modern Family.
Yeah.
Who's a big Rockets fan. He came to it. I was invited to it. Watched. It was a whole musical that Daryl wrote. And he never found a good shooter. It was weird. How is Daryl Morey? And then he goes to Philadelphia, and it's just more of the same. Just let's get James back. Let's get P.J. Tucker back. Let's just get old Rockets back. And he was just he lost all the creativity and juice that he used to have building rosters. But I'm wondering, if you put him with the Astros, does maybe he get it back if he becomes Astros general manager?
You think?
I'm just asking questions. Is all.
Well, we've seen it before.
Paul DePodesta went to the NFL.
Yeah.
From baseball. Why can't basketball go to baseball?
Right.
You know, I mean, why can't we do that?
And James, why can't James Harden come play for the Astros?
Can he?
Yeah.
Can he?
Yeah.
I mean, is there a James Harden of Major League Baseball right now?
Judge got to the World Series.
I mean, you can't say.
But Judge kind of falls apart at the end, too.
He does. And his regular seasons are really good, too.
Yeah, great.
I mean.
No, MVP regular seasons. And then.
Actually, not.
Then he falls apart in the postseason at some point.
There's actually some accuracy to that.
No. No. I mean, he's the.
Aaron Judge is the James Harden? I don't think he's going to like that, Aaron Harden. I mean, Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is not going to like to be Aaron Harden. No, not at all. So that is true. He every year they're like, "What are you doing, Judge?"
We had one that was similar in terms of like they just couldn't get away from him, and it was Machete. He wasn't the James Harden, but they like refused to get away from Machete.
Yeah.
That was Dusty's James Harden.
Right.
If
all the production.
Right. Obviously, no one's going to have all that. But if Daryl Morey had somebody he couldn't quit, so did Dusty.
Yeah.
Dusty couldn't quit Machete.
No.
I can quit Emi, in case you're wondering. I can quit him quick.
Well, and it appears, well, I mean, he's on the DL, but the IL, but I'm not sure that Yiner isn't about done.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, before he got hurt, he sucked.
I know. And he wasn't great last year. I don't know what happened to him, man. He was a great
hitter. Maybe Dusty knew more about it than you did.
Maybe Dusty ruined his confidence.
Yeah.
Maybe. Although Yiner did hit well even after that. And then last year wasn't great for Yiner, and this year started off terrible. Like, what happened to our good hitting catcher? Where'd that guy go?
I don't know.
The IL.
Well, what are you talking about? The Astros have never had a good hitting catcher ever.
No, he was one.
Well, for a season.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That was the first time in my life of watching Astros baseball I had a catcher could hit.
That they could hit. Yeah. Right. So this is our Astros baseball. What happened to our good hitting catcher 4 years ago?
Thanks for nothing, Astros.
So.
Yeah. I mean, wait a minute. Now he did have. You know, well, his hit a 701 OPS last year. He had 20 homers and 70 RBIs, but a 701 OPS. The year before is a. You know, you're right. Actually, 23 is when he had 23 homers as a rookie. He had 23 homers and 60 RBIs and an OPS of 846, and we thought we were on to something. Mm-hmm. Then the next year is like, not as good. 16 homers, you know, the home run. Actually. Dude, he had 23 homers and 355 at-bats while Dusty was trying to cool him down.
Yeah, right.
He had 23 homers and 355 at-bats that year. And Dusty's like, whoa, settle down.
He needs to be on the bench.
That's the pace of about a 38 home run season as a rookie. The next year, he had 16 homers, 84 RBIs, and a 766. Last year, he had 20 home runs, but, you know, he had more home runs and less at-bats, but he had a 701 OPS. And this year, just off to a raging 601 OPS start. But this is what happens when Amai gets lit up and we lose 10-2 at home.
Well, the Athletic now has a piece on. Chandler Rome did a piece May 13th. May 13th. Oh, today. It came out today. Emi is pitching with absolutely no game plan. And
how does he know that?
Well,
somebody from the Astros must be.
We just have to get him right. That what needs to be better, said Espada. I told him to just go out. He said red zones, blue zones, heat maps, nah. Just go after him. That's what I did in Japan. That's why the Astros signed me, Emi said. So that's why I want to work on my fastball and slider. If that didn't work, try other pitches. But for now, I want to work on my fastball and slider.
Like it's spring training.
I mean,
spring training?
Yeah.
I want to work on fastball against major league hitters.
What?
You can't just work on stuff against major league hitters. You better have a plan, sir.
Okay, so 80% of his pitchers were fast four-seam or sliders. So
he told you that's what he's working on.
He's working on it. So if guys know that it's going to be one of the two, you just sit. Wow. And just let's just sit on it and then crush it for a grand slam, game over in the fourth inning. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, what?
If you say so.
What, is this, is Miller, I mean, Joe, what are you talking about? This is Joe Espada saying this stuff. There were windows, after the game he acknowledged there were windows that he could have used his split finger or changeup, especially against Seattle's slew of left-handed hitters. Emi hasn't commanded his arsenal against anyone, but his ability to neutralize lefties has been a particular concern. Yeah, you think? You think that's a little bit concerning? So, I mean, honestly, if this is, nah, don't worry about it. Just work on your fastball tonight.
We're going to get it right. Just keep working on it. What's the difference now? You're 11 games under 500. Just let him work through this.
Well,
either he's going to stay in this country and be our pitcher, or he's not. You might as well let him use this as a spring training. Whatever. I'm to the point now. What do you want him to do? Bear down and really grit it out? I already told you he doesn't like this pitch clock. It's already too confusing for him. It's making it hard for him to pitch because of the pitch clock.
It's hard. The mound is hard. Everything. The pitch clock is hard.
Dude, he's trending for leaving this team before the season's over is where he's trending. And if that's the case, you just do whatever you want, and if you work it out and we get a good pitcher for the next few years, then that's great. You know, if not, then, you know, bye-bye. Or as we say, is it,
well,
sayonara?
I mean, can't...
They never told me.
We're
Japanese.
One start from back from his, you know, rehab. So, I mean, maybe we're...
His two rehab starts were pretty terrible, too.
Yeah, no.
Just, in case you were wondering, in the land, they were lighting them up in the land, too.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a good outing. Well, he hasn't had a good outing. I'll just stop right there. He had that one where he had some good stuff and then he ran into that inning in his first start. Remember?
Uh-huh.
This has happened more than once now where he's run into an inning like Tim Redding. And that's going to go too deep for most of you, going all the way back to like 2000. But the Astros had a pitcher named Tim Redding who was one of their minor leaguers who came up and they had high hopes for him. And he would mentally fall apart. He'd be doing fine for three innings, and then he would have an inning where his head just completely exploded and the game would just completely get away from him.
Yep.
That's actually happened twice with Emi in two of his three starts. He's actually had that happen this year.
Yep. Sad news today. Rest in peace, Donald Gibb. Revenge of the Nerd Guy.
Wait a minute. Lamar Luttrell? Oh, nerds!
Yeah,
I know that guy.
Yeah.
This is why. Hey, that's my pie.
Yeah.
That's whatever he goes. Why are these nerds getting all these people over here at their thing? This is why. Then he says, this is why. He goes, and he looked at it, and it's like they've got the whipped cream and the pie tin, and his name was Ogre,
okay.
Revenge of the Nerds. He eats all of it, and he sees, and there's pictures of their naked girlfriends underneath there. The nerds just wasted the jocks.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. I don't blame
nerds.
Yeah.
I never saw Revenge of the Nerds.
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of nerds. That's what John Goodman said. Nerds! So Ogre's dead.
Yeah, Ogre's dead.
Nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
Come on, Lewis, let's go.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
Iconic scene where Lamar Luttrell throws a javelin, the gay javelin thrower, but the whole thing was, it's actually a really underrated movie. So he's dead.
Yeah.
Apparently. And there's somebody else. Oh, Brandon Clark.
Yeah. Brandon Clark.
29 years old, drug overdose.
Yeah. Oh, man.
29 year old with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Not only him, Jason Collins passed away.
Yeah, well, Jason Collins at age 47 had brain cancer.
Oh, really?
First openly gay NBA player.
Yeah.
Not while he was playing, though.
I think he came out when he was an assistant.
Yeah.
For maybe the Warriors.
It was a really big deal when he came out because there had been no one associated with sports like that in basketball that I know of at all, ever.
He wasn't still playing?
No, he wasn't still playing.
I don't remember.
But I think he was in the locker room with Tim Hardaway, if I remember correctly, when Tim Hardaway was like, and these gays, not homosexuals. And he was going after
him. I think Tim Hardaway said he hated gays.
Yeah.
He had to apologize for that.
And Jason's like, awkward.
So after the 2012-2013 season, he came out as gay. He was a free agent at the time. He did not play again until February 14th.
I thought he was still.
So right. He was still active.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was very active.
Technically, he was.
That was his last year.
Right. But he never actually played.
He wound up
after
on the Nets, so he did. He was on a roster after coming out. I don't know. I don't know about his game time, but he was on a roster after he came out.
Clark was arrested in Arkansas last month on allegations of speeding, fleeing, and possession of a controlled substance. He was on a collision course. Brandon Clark.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That is too bad. 29 years old. Way too young. Way too young. 713-780-3776 is the number. Just getting it started. What a uplifting first segment.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros are toast. It's over. The season's over.
You told me they'd never get back to 500.
They won't get back. No, I'm going to tell you again. They won't get back. This team is not good.
I didn't think they were getting back when they were 500.
They were never
good.
Even when they pitch well, they don't win.
Even when they get better and people come back, the best they're going to be is a 500 team.
Yeah.
Their bats are too inconsistent. You put another two spot on the board yesterday. So all you're doing is ones, twos, and zeros.
You know what Brandon Shoemake made me realize, though?
What?
I mean, is that like Michael Schumacher. I mean, that and the Schumacher name. Back somewhere, they had people that were making shoes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and Shoemake just says, listen, we're just going to say it. We're Shoemake, right? That's it. It's going to be pretty simple and straightforward,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's what you take from him?
That's what I took.
Okay.
Bread from Braden Shoemake.
Okay.
And his fast start.
Unlike, first name?
You might be
a Braden.
Dana, I thought maybe you'd say Dana Brown really can find talent.
No.
He traded for him.
Yeah.
Well, what I take from all of this is. Watch yourself.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It is over.
It is over. It's
Johnny.
Not June. In fact, it's not even midday.
Hey, we're going to become a World Cup show. Don't worry about it.
We're not even midday.
We are a World Cup show. We got the best in the business, Glenn Davis.
Did you know our new co-host, Glenn Davis, is going to start coming in 5 days a week?
Yep.
Let's see.
Yeah.
When does this start anyway? Can we start it tomorrow?
No, in June.
When Seattle leaves?
I feel like it's in June.
Are we going to turn into a Caitlin Clark show again?
That would be awesome.
She's going to have to play better. June 11th, the World Cup begins.
Should we crank up
June 11th?
Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese arguments?
In Mexico. Our first game, the U.S. opens it up June 12th against Paraguay at 8 p.m.
Who? Oh, U.S.?
U.S. But US the Paraguay? First game is in Mexico against South Africa.
Yeah, I feel bad for Paraguay.
Paraguay's got no chance against the likes of us.
I wouldn't be so confident.
Yeah. Some of our all-time greats.
In L.A., right?
I believe
I'm
so.
Going.
Yeah.
I'm
Huge going. Huge home.
Will it be a home field advantage? Will it be?
It never is when U.S. plays.
Not in.
They're all, no matter where they are.
Well, it depends.
I was here at the watching him and was it the Gold Cup? What's it called?
Was it the Gold Cup semifinal?
Yeah, when they played Mexico.
Well, that was a final.
If it was 15% U.S., we would be lucky.
And, you mean this past
year?
Yeah,
you were there.
I was there. It was, we were lucky if it was 15%. Me and my dad were there.
I was thinking, it'll be 35%. Oh,
not a chance.
Way overshot.
Not a chance.
Way overshot.
It was two very average teams going at it, but the fan base for Mexico far exceeded the
U.S. Yeah, but we're not playing Mexico.
We're playing Paraguay in L.A.
I'd make that a 50.
In L.A.
That'll be a 50-50 crowd.
The neutrals probably won't be rooting for the U.S. The people who just go to the game probably won't be rooting for the U.S.
If they know what's good for them, they will.
They know what's good for them.
No, they're going to root against because you always root against the best team.
No, it's not that. I'm sure there's some political things that might lead to people rooting against us.
Maybe. They like to be put out of the country?
Oh.
Before their tickets
probably,
get used?
Yeah, probably not. Like that. Oh, if they don't root for U.S., how about you get deported? How
it's
would
on
that
the
be?
Table, Dale.
Maybe
it's
they
on
mean,
the table.
Well, I'm not saying Americans.
You don't want to be here.
I'm not saying Americans. I'm saying people who are in town Cash for Patel. Other matches may, they watch a game.
Cash
and they're going to root for Paraguay. Yeah, I heard that. I just didn't want to get involved.
Cross-eyed. Hey, what are you doing over there? Hey, Cash McGrady? What are you talking about?
I don't know. You know what? I was just thinking, you can never be on the LeBron James versus MJ because MJ.
Oh, him and Jay Electrical.
You're biased.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. That's another thing. The Shoemate thing and then this. You're thinking outside the box today. It's crazy. Him and Jay Electrical Supply. So the other day I was talking to you about the selling. I want to talk about the buying. And that's one of the things that M&J Electrical Supply will do. They will buy your old electrical equipment that you have at the job site. And I'm talking to electrical contractors, general contractors. I'm talking to maintenance engineers, project managers, construction and demolition guys. If you're somebody who works at a job site, somebody who runs a job site, you know that when you're putting in new electrical equipment, you got to take out the old for the purposes of safety. And even if you're just doing a demolition, you got to take out the old electrical. You don't want to start a fire. M&J will come out there, professionally remove all of the old electrical equipment, including those circuit breakers, transformers, disconnects, panels, switch gears, and everything involved with it. They take it out professionally, and then they will buy it from you. And not at scrap prices. They give you good prices. So you are making money off the job site, off your demolition job. Or, if you're putting new electrical in, you can, you can buy it from them. They can come in and buy the old equipment from you. Like, it's a whole circle of life there that M&J have available for you. And they've been doing this for 30 years. And if you don't know about them, you really need to know about them, because Jeremy Coker, the owner, does an amazing job of making your job so much easier if you fall into the categories I was just talking about. They're located at Steubner Airline near I-45 North in West Little York. You can give them a call to buy, to sell to them, or to have them remove old electrical. They are waiting for you. 713-699-5055. They're going to be open up today, so give them a call. 713-699-5055.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Wemby was back last night and they kicked their ass. The Spurs destroyed the Timberwolves in San Antonio. Now they've just got one game left. I can't help but feel like, how slimy that was, if you want to know the truth. If it was anybody else, if Naz Reid did that to Wemby, Naz Reid is sitting that game. I mean, it's just too sleazy. And I don't care about, I really, but that, don't you have to have some integrity?
No. I don't really get the positioning of Wemby coming back as a conquering hero. Like, that was, like, the narrative out there, as if he wasn't the one who did the wronging. It's like he's positioned as, hey, Wimby's back. Yeah, he's back because
back.
He did
he never
something.
Went anywhere.
He didn't go anywhere. He just got thrown out of a game because he did something egregious. Don't like, of course, Spurs fans feel aggrieved that he got thrown out because of all the bullying, I guess, that was going on before he did what he did. That's fine. I expect that from them and even their own media. But don't position him as some guy who fought against the man and won, and now he's back and look what he did. He did something stupid, and he's fortunate because of his status. That's why he got to play.
But that is so unfair. You just told everybody what a sleazebag league you are. You don't care.
That's what we've been, in the NFL,
about
that's
competition
what we've been
and
about,
fairness.
We've been saying that about the NBA for years. We've got parity in our leagues in the NFL, and the NBA is so full of sleaze. Greedy sleazers is what we call them.
Do you call the NBA? That's what you call the NBA.
Mm-hmm. No. Adam Silver. Well, rules for thee, but not for me.
I saw a graphic of how much each commissioner makes. Raj makes $69 million a year.
Is he up in the 60s now?
Yeah.
That's more than James Harden.
I mean, and the other ones are 20, 11, 23, something like that.
Who's a poverty GM who makes 11?
It might have been Bettman. It was,
Gary Bettman? Yeah. Probably.
Probably.
And what about the WNBA? Did you make about 87?
Don't do this.
What?
Don't.
Should I not do it?
87? Don't do this.
I wasn't going to do 67, 6'7". I wasn't going to do
you,
that.
Don't do that.
87? Don't. Well, I mean, her players were making about that much. Of course, Raj is making, Raj is making more than any
player.
See,
look at you, insulting her. Kathy Engelbert's contract or money being made is not public, but people believe it can be in the millions.
Ooh, the players.
Well, no wonder
the players
she said, I'm not quitting.
And no wonder the players said, hey.
What are you making?
Caitlin Clark's making like $79,000. How much are you making, Engelbert? Don't worry about it. Mind your own business.
Yeah, well, I would say that too.
We're losing money in this league. Like, yeah, because of your salary. Who pays your salary, ma'am? Yeah, so Raj makes more than any player in the league.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a good agent.
Yeah, as well he
who
should.
Who does he negotiate with?
As well he should.
Who does his agent talk to? Owners? They just like, hey, Cal, Hannah, what do you think? 68 yeah. million?
Give me more. I need more to make you more. Well, they're probably like.
No, they're making money.
You're making
no,
me
no,
money.
No, they like him. No, don't kid yourself. They like him.
Yeah.
Games on all days, games on all networks. They like him. They like him just fine. There was, I saw Mike Florio had a comment that was right. I guess the talking point from the league has been 87% of the TV games that are on free TV. But Mike Florio's point was they run concurrently at noon and at 3. For example, at Central Time, noon and at 3. So you can't see all those games.
No.
You're getting to see your game.
And even if you did want you
have to pay for
you
it.
Have to pay for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're paying for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
So the only one you're watching on free TV, which, by the way, is also more than likely on a cable or satellite. How many people just have a regular TV? The percentage has gotten very low of the people who just have, you know, a TV with some rabbit ears on it. You have to pay for something to get your local channels nowadays, for the most part.
Yeah, but that you can't hold that against the league.
No, we'll say it's right. I guess you can't say it's pay, but at the same time, you're not getting to watch all those games. So that percentage of free games is not a percentage that's available to you to watch. So it's not like that. Even that is kind of BS.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, technically, all of those games are free. Well, actually, aren't 100% because even when you're on Netflix, doesn't a local carrier carry it too? Or no?
It used to be
that a local carrier would carry.
No.
Well, I don't know about streaming. I don't know about streaming anymore.
Network.
NFL Network did that.
And then what he did say is, I didn't realize this, but during COVID, they started doing where when they didn't have programming on, for example, ABC, they were running concurrently the broadcast on ESPN and on ABC because it helped fill in ABC's missing. Oh, no, it was during the writer's strike. When they were missing programming, they started running Monday Night Football on ABC along with ESPN, and they saw the ratings. We're like, oh, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it all the time, but every once in a while they will do that. If the Texans are playing, I think you can always see it on ABC if it's an ESPN game. I'm pretty sure the local channels always get.
Yeah, and just get that. I asked a question, and who knows if it's right, but if it's on Netflix, it should be free in the local market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you sure?
So technically, I don't know, they could actually say We're giving you all the games for free. Not
Amazon.
It's to someone
Amazon?
Is giving it free.
That's not free. Thursdays aren't free.
Thursdays are not simulcast on local.
No.
But I asked. It's on the NFL's official account as far as Netflix is concerned. They are in the markets for free of the teams participating in those games.
Yeah,
that would be the right thing to do, including Amazon. But that's not what Amazon's not paying for. Amazon's not paying that money for you to be able to, you know, they want you to use their service. That's why they're buying it. I mean, it's all going to go this way. Basketball started going this way. Baseball, they try to do it with Apple TV. Baseball better be careful. Baseball can't get too uppity. I mean, you're baseball.
Wow.
Be careful about being on all these different streaming platforms or you'll end up with no viewers. So just be careful.
Watch yourself. I mean, baseball is the nation's pastime, national pastime.
No.
And you just come along lately, new money, NFL. I mean, baseball is the heart of America.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Football is
Do you get to watch your Astros? How many people get to see Astros games when they're on Apple TV?
Huh?
How many people get to see Astros baseball? By the way, did you see there was a settlement of like $140 million for a college CTE case from the 50s?
Wow.
One of the lawyers who was worked that case listens to our show and hit me up in direct message. He wasn't directly, but if you want to get the lawyer, I saw that. I said, where did, I haven't seen any information on this. And he sent me a link. And it was a small, like AP news story. And I just thought, this is a major story. Somebody from the 50s who played at SMU just got like, it was involved in a $140 million CTE settlement.
Wow.
That is a major story.
Tells you. Wow. I got concussed when I was playing. I mean.
You weren't playing in the 50s. I mean, you got even more money coming to you.
I know. No, is that how it works? Because it was the 50s? I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
All right. I do know this. You got more. You got an easier time. So much easier, faster. So much. I mean, and it's just like being in Vegas. It's Lake Charles, and it's the Golden Nugget. It's just a car ride down the road. Okay. Yeah, it's a couple hours, but you know what? You can. There's plenty of great places to stop, to gas up. Yeah, you got a Buc-ee's on the way. Okay, easy to get to, so much more convenient, so wonderful. I don't know what the game is, but make sure whatever. If you're going for the weekend and you want to watch, you get your reservation for the DraftKings Sportsbook so that you got a place to sit. Make sure that you do that because you definitely, especially if it's a big game, and we got big games coming up with the World Cup. All right, you want to watch the U.S. there or any other games, and you're going to be able to bet on all of them at the DraftKings Sportsbook. You'll be able to get your gamble on with a beautiful casino and every other amenity that Golden Nugget Lake Charles has. We love it. We are big, big, big fans of the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. It's one of my favorite places. The hotel is beautiful. It's like it's still brand new. And all of them in Lake Charles are not like that. I can tell you, they're just not like that. So you're looking to a nice little trip. It's not even a trip. You can come the same day. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So last night in, where were they playing? Corpus? Is that where Hader and Pena were? Were they in?
Yeah, they all were down there.
Down in Corpus.
Doing stuff.
And Jeremy Pena on a double, dude slides into him and he goes, flies, Jeremy Pena flies through the air, falls on his back. And he was on the ground for a while. Nice.
And then he got hit by a pitch, and that was in the end for him. They're like, all right, that's enough. Let's come sit by us. He had three at-bats or three plate appearances, and that was enough. Go sit down.
I mean, can we not? I mean, Jeremy Pena, he got a nail broken earlier in the World Baseball or something. He's got hamstrings. He's got Jeremy, can you just...
What's he coming back to anyway? Like, whenever...
For what?
Whenever he's back. Look, I go out there, be with your boys, but, you know.
No, you actually want him
just
to come
play.
Back.
Play. That's what I'm saying. Just come out. I'm his boys.
Where
I mean,
are we playing
teammates.
Braden Shoemaker when he comes back?
You see, Ken Rosenthal thinks that... He was asked about the Astros making trades, and you brought up... You know, he said, Jim Crane always thinks they're in it or something like that.
Yeah.
Never and concedes.
Then, yeah, and then he said... You know, he doesn't see them trading Yordan now or anytime because, you know, that's not the way that Jim Crane operates. But he did think Jeremy Pena in the offseason is going to be somebody to watch. And I could see that. I mean, he's a Boris client. You know, you're not getting him. So I could see them, if this turns out to be a really bad year, I could see them saying, let's move Jeremy right now. I could totally see that. Yordan, he probably views Yordan as his, you know, as the meal ticket. You got the best hitter, one of the best power hitters in the league. We're going to keep him. But Jeremy Pena, we can move on from Jeremy. He's had some injury issues. He's a good player. He's young. There's still at least a year of club control. I could see that in the offseason. I don't think, you know, I always wonder about offseason versus in season. Where do you think you get the most value? Because So in the offseason, you potentially have more teams on the available for a potential trade. So you might have five or six teams available. Although I would assume since Jeremy Pena is a Boris client, if you trade for him, you have to not have an idea you're going to actually keep them. You know, the Cubs, Cubs got burned with that with Kyle Tucker. They traded for him and they weren't able to keep Kyle Tucker. If you're a team trade, but I would assume that, you know, I don't know, four to six teams may be looking at Jeremy Pena. If you do it at the trade deadline, you may only have two to three teams, but are they more desperate? Are they more willing to bid against each other? Like, what do you think gives you more value?
Well, who gives you more value?
Well, no, what gives you more value? Trading him in the offseason where there might be a few more teams available.
Oh, teams are desperate. Not what, but if they need Jeremy Pena.
You have more teams that might be available in the offseason. You have fewer but more desperate in the middle of the season. You think that's the one?
I think that's the one.
So then if you're going to trade Jeremy Pena, you do it this year.
Maybe, yeah.
You don't do it with half a year left at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
What's that going to get you?
But another guy, just another guy. And what? So now Nick Allen takes over?
It's what it is anyway. Who cares?
Braden Shumake, could he be the everyday shortstop now? He's hitting over 300. I'm hoping that, you know what, by the end of the season, he'll be a 209 hitter. You know what? And if he hits 209 this year, the spot could be his.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know anymore.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're actually just giving away the whole club for what? What are you giving away the club for? What are you trying to accomplish here?
Well, that's
you want to trade everyone.
Well, no, I'm trying to replenish with. I'm trying to take one player and turn them into three players.
Yeah,
and you hope that two of them hit.
But
I'm trying to do some math here to increase the amount of players who have a chance to be the next guy up that they have club control over, because you're not keeping Boris clients. They're not taking early deals. I'm tired of seeing we have two things. We can either keep doing, the argument is to keep doing exactly what you're doing, which is letting guys walk, and you get nothing in return for them except a draft pick, or maybe move on earlier. In the past, you obviously could never do that because you're competing. You're not competing now.
Yeah.
So what's keeping you from trying to turn, this isn't a new concept where you trade good players, where you unload and try to replenish your minor
league
system.
Who doesn't do that ever, though? Good organizations.
Like the Mets.
Well, the Braves.
Well, good
or the Yankees, or the Dodgers.
They're in contention. And actually, the Mets did do. I mean, the Yankees did do some of that about 5 years ago when they got their spending a little bit more under control. But we used to be one of those teams, but we're not anymore.
Well,
now we're a bad team.
But really good organizations are rarely, if ever, sellers.
Yeah, because you're always in the mix,
right? You're not in the mix, the Red Sox don't sell off their players.
I'm going to ask you, let's keep working down this. Do you see the Astros as right now a good organization moving forward, as a successful organization moving forward?
The Astros as a successful
I'm not talking about historically. Do you look at them as a team that have a chance to succeed in baseball at a level of competing at a high level in the playoffs moving forward? I don't. So they're not in that same category as Braves and Yankees that you're talking about. The Astros were once in that category too. That's why they bought Kikuchi rather than dealt Kyle Tucker. They could have dealt Kyle Tucker even earlier instead at the trade deadline, and they weren't doing well. They brought in Kikuchi, and Kikuchi did a good job for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rental, but he did a good job for them. They're not in that same position anymore.
No, they're not.
And it looks like permanently they're not.
But
in that
I don't
position.
Know. But if you're a selling organization, then you're a selling organization. And if you're a buyer and you're a competitor, you're not a seller.
Right. You're not competitive.
The Astros have not been sellers.
I know, but
since 2011,
when they weren't good.
All right.
But they're not good now. So I think you can pivot. This doesn't speak ill of you as a. This just means that you're willing to try to replenish. You're in a new mode. And either have to grow up and realize where you are and be self-aware, or you keep following the same Drayton McClain path we've seen before, and you continue to slide and slide with all your players going. That's the only argument I make.
Somebody told me, or somebody said, and I don't know if it's true, I would think Jim Crane would have to sell the team before that happens. There's a rumor out there, I don't know if it's true. He wants to sell, his son doesn't want to sell. But I don't know that Jim Crane at this age wants to go through another 300 loss seasons.
It's really not good. Then he can go through 89 loss seasons.
Yeah.
90. What's the difference?
Well, right.
No. You know what I mean? Like, what's if you go 72 and 90?
Who saw this coming, this collapse?
Well, I didn't think they were going to be
good. Oh, by the way, again, 16 guys on the IL. Last year, the most ever missed games in the history of baseball.
16 or 12? Difference does it
it's,
make?
I thought
it was 12. It doesn't matter.
No, it's more.
Ton. It's a ton.
Yeah, it's more.
And there's probably been more that have been added since then. So.
Yeah.
But Jim Crane, but this is the problem. Jim Crane is doing exactly what Drayton did. He's just in a better package where he basically said, we want to keep the window open. But you have to recognize when the window's closing or closed on you. And I'd like to think Jim Crane is smarter than Drayton. And Jim Crane understands, okay, the quickest way for me to reopen this window is get some young studs in here. And the only way for me to do that is not through my own minor league system. It's going to be through I'm going to have to purchase other minor league, stars, up and coming stars who I'm going to have club control over for 6 years. And the only way to do that is take one of my assets and turn it into two assets or three assets. I'm not doing anything that's brand new. This has been the way that many teams have rebuilt. It's just, Kansas City Royals, Oakland A's, when they were Oakland, they were unable to sustain that model financially. We have the money here in Houston and the wherewithal that once you do that, you can sustain that model a little longer. Crane has shown we're not going to sustain it. And Jim Crane is probably waiting until the next collective bargaining agreement, too, to see. Let's just see what happens, what the rules look like after this next collective bargaining agreement. That actually might make it more appealing if he did want to sell to another owner if they knew, hey, there's some barriers in place that will help control spending a little bit and help make it more parity-driven in baseball.
If, yes. Well, we'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. And who wants to buy a team anyway when you've got a work stoppage coming?
Yeah.
Is that a good time or bad time? You have no revenue coming in, but you also have no salaries going out.
Probably a good time to buy, not sell.
Yeah,
probably a really good time to buy. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Y'all got thoughts on this? You're more than welcome to. I know this. We've already proven that today is May 13th. We've proven that.
That's a fact.
It is a fact, and we're not getting around it. Do you know that the deadline to protest your property taxes is May 15th? Most counties throughout Texas, it's May 15th. What have you done? Have you sat on your hands all this time? You got the letter from the government, what they want to charge you for property taxes. And you're like, okay. You got to do something. You can't sit on your hands. You've got to go. You just go to ownwell.com. It takes you 3 minutes to sign up. You're running out of time. Okay, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get less now because it's closer. No, it's okay. You can still sign up, and you'll still get the max that Ownwell can get you. And Ownwell gets more than the other guys, 21 to 51% higher than their competitors in Harris County. Montgomery County, a 94% success rate, and that's way better than the 81% success rate by the other guys. Okay, doubling your money in Brazoria County. All of you people out there, you can hear me. Go to ownwell.com. Make sure you write my name in there. Tell them that I sent you. Save money on your property taxes. The deadline to protest is May 15th. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell. That's ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at ownwell.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 751 ESPN 97.5. I want to get to this, the international schedule, 2026 here. First game, Thursday, September 10th. First international game. San Francisco. The 49ers and the Rams are in the same state, and they have to go all the way to Melbourne to play this game. I mean, if I'm not happy
about
this.
That is a trip now.
No, it is a – it's still a 8-19,
so
even from L.A.
So I get – oh, yeah. No, it's a ton. Yeah. So we're going to have games in So I was at a, I was at a, an HSPVA music event thing at somebody's house.
They're playing that in Melbourne too?
No. We met, you know, other families who are coming in. My daughter, you know, sings there, and so we met other families of parents who are coming in. And one of the couples was this guy was like this really dapper businessman, and like central casting dapper. And
what does that mean, dapper?
Like he was just handsome. Suit, his jacket, his clothing was immaculate. He looks like somebody who could step into a. He was casual. His casual's way above my dressiest. Okay. He was casual, but could step into a meeting with a bunch of Japanese businessmen and foreign adversaries or foreign ally. Like he could, this guy could have
impressive.
Run for president. Very impressive.
Okay.
And he had his wife is from Japan, and he was talking about the fact that he, when he lived in Japan for 6 years, that he watched the Colts play there. Do you remember the NFL playing in Japan? I don't recall that. He said in the 90s, the NFL was in Japan. Do you remember the NFL playing in Japan?
I do not.
I don't either. Because I was thinking, so they're going to be in Brazil this year. They're going to be in...
Okay, so the first game is in Melbourne.
Australia.
San Fran and the Rams. How do you see it?
I don't know. Rams, I guess. Where are they playing, though? Where is Mike?
Ravens and Cowboys in Rio. The Cowboys will have more fans.
Yeah, Cowboys. Cowboys.
It's the world's team.
I think the Ravens' time may be up.
You think the Ravens' time is up?
I think the Ravens' time may be up.
Jesse Minter is a great, great coach, apparently.
I saw that. I don't think things are great in Lamar land over there. They don't feel like they're really...
I think the Cowboys are just an average team, though.
They are, but they will have their quarterback back. They have two really good wide receivers. They've got... They're healthy again. I think the Cowboys will make some noise this year. We'll see if they're good enough defensively.
They did pick up a defensive guy.
Well, they need like seven.
Right.
They got Caleb Downs.
That's my point.
They got a pass rusher who probably is going to take a year, and Caleb Downs will be a good player. I don't know if he's going to have that kind of impact.
Colts and Washington in Tottenham.
In Tottenham, okay.
And
England.
Yes. Followed by the next week, the Eagles and Jags in Tottenham.
We're going two straight games in Tottenham?
Yes. And then the following week, the Texans and Jags in Wembley.
Yeah.
Straight English.
We got an advertiser sending us there.
We do?
Yep.
Nice.
I'm going to announce who it is, and they're going to find out who they are.
Okay. Well, we can't wait till the unveil.
Let me just tell you who it is. I'm just going to give you an idea. They have really good rates right now on refis.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
You think Kent Jones is
not just him? Also, you can push a button and the goal will go up and down. Yep.
And
I'm doing my own schedule release,
right?
Advertiser sponsorship release right now.
And
on the radio.
Robin, who went to U of H,
yep.
Just might.
And the Cougs.
She's
John.
A Coug.
Yep. And since we're gonna have one of mine, we're gonna do an underdog doesn't realize, but they're going to be. Underdog. Yeah, underdog's going to be just going to be Gilbert Arenas. It's also going to be this show that they sponsor.
Do you think that the Texans on that field, on that pitch, will be able to run the football against the Jags?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very successful.
Yeah. Yep. Did you see
those pretty soccer fields about to get torn up by these these feral hogs we have up front?
Yes. Oh, speaking of which, I'm gonna show you something incredible that Max Crosby said about one Texans offensive lineman. It was like, what?
Well, at least he wasn't coming after me like he usually does.
Max Crosby does? He hates you?
Did you guys see?
He's just gone.
Did
after
you
me a
see this,
times.
Del?
I didn't see what Max Crosby said, but I did see, what Mike Clay did when he ranked the projected starters across the league, and he talked to people who watch film and are alleged experts when it comes to O-line play. You want to guess where the Texans are ranked?
O-line play?
With all their new additions, where the Texans are ranked?
Who did the ranking?
Mike Clay of ESPN talked to people who watch film and other evaluators of O-line play.
People who watch film, like Film Watcher from Twitter?
This is what he said. He talked to people who watch, who should know about O-line play. This is kind of how he couched it.
People who should know?
I don't know. He didn't give me names.
I'll say 24.
The Daniel guy from the Jets?
Daniel Kelly?
Daniel Kelly.
Oh, man, did he.
I saw
it turns out he wasn't even a scout there. Did you see that?
Okay, we can't get off track.
He used
here.
To set up Hold projectors and get coffee.
He's in the building.
That's what he did. He was an assistant.
He worked. Belichick hired him. That's
one of the great.
Oh. So when people question,
so I'm gonna say 24.
Some of his ratings, he goes, "I'll stick to listening to people who actually watched and charted the games." Lower.
What?
So this is
second.
This is with Wyatt Teller.
No, that's the thing Sean and I talked about. He didn't even include Wyatt Teller as a starter.
What?
He has Ursary, Rutledge, Andrews, Ingram, and Smith as your starters.
Andrew.
Well, wait a minute. Why did they bring Wyatt Teller here?
I don't know.
No, he is going to start.
We talked about it, but he's not even included amongst the starters.
Ursary, Rutledge. So Rutledge is probably going to be center. So take Andrews out.
Yes.
And then add Wyatt Teller. This is why. You know, I don't understand. To this day, people just don't really watch or know that much about the Texans to this day. It's astonishing how often you hear comments that are like off, that are not factually sound.
Well, I'll ask you this. I don't know how much Wyatt Teller would make a difference on the 32nd ranked offensive line.
What?
He had them last?
Last?
According to the people who chart and watch, this is some of his criteria. Player ratings were determined by analyzing a variety of stats, including pass and run block win rates.
Just say PFF grades.
He also threw in pedigree. But the Texans, none of their players were ranked very high, as you might imagine. Jake Andrews is not even your worst starter. That's Ursary. And you have the 32nd ranked offensive line of football.
Yeah, I'm not really. The ball knowers may have missed on this one. No. And I'm not saying, look, there's a reason Braden Smith was available. There's a reason why Teller was available. They're not available because they're still great players necessarily. They're probably on the downside. But even with that said, their downside's better than the other players' upside that we had. So I'll take them. They're physical. They're aggressive. They have a certain mentality. They're still Band-Aid players. If we're being honest about it, that's all the Texans do now is put Band-Aids on everything. But that's okay because they did pick up one player that they're trying to grow with, Rutledge, to go with Ursary, who they're trying to grow with. So you have two players on your offensive line that are going to be your future core. I would imagine next year Nick does the same thing in the first two rounds, probably looks for another guard or right tackle, probably a right tackle. But, yeah, that's just too low. That's simply too low. These guys have a pedigree of being able
to
block.
This is a tough question, but who's worse?
Who's worse
than the Texans?
I got to take a look.
Yeah,
according to this, the best offensive line in college football—that's the one that's worse.
What?
Because they're 32. Yeah. There's no worse in the NFL.
If they're better than the
I don't know.
If they're better than the best,
I don't know what he thinks of.
They didn't include best offensive line in college football.
I mean, you know, the Chiefs had injuries too, but the Chiefs weren't very good last year.
No, they weren't.
And they have some money guys at left guard and center.
We're just going to have to prove them wrong, aren't we?
Prove the ball down wrong.
Are the Titans good offensive?
He didn't say no. They're 29th, but better than the Texans.
Are the Steelers?
I mean, they're levels.
Where does he have the Where does he have the Steelers?
24th.
I was going to say they're not very good.
Who else is down there? 31.
Let me see because it's.
Your team, Cleveland, the Dolphins.
Cleveland is 28th. The Dolphins are 30th. They do have a great player in Aaron Brewer, but that's about it.
Yeah, Cleveland actually is they lost both their guards. They don't have, and I don't know where Batonio's gone, if he's gone anywhere.
Tennessee is 29th. Who's 31? 31 is Cincinnati.
I would say Tennessee, Cleveland.
Oh, God, Cincinnati.
Tennessee, Cleveland, Cincinnati. None of those teams are going to be better than the Texans. No. God forbid. If they are, Nick will be saying, I'm not worried about it. If I'm not worried about it, you shouldn't be.
And the Chiefs at 26.
So I put in Max Crosby. You got to clean it up because he's on a podcast.
Oh, he's fucking flaring
mouth. It's telling what he has to say.
About who?
About.
Don't worry about it.
Well, you'll find out.
Don't worry about it.
That's a tease. Yeah.
Is okay. it relevant to the show and the,
yes,
the city?
Yeah, it's yes, very, it's very relevant to the show. And
oh, he's
to
got words
city.
For he's got something to say about Lance then. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, and then he says, and F Lance Erlein at that the end. Sense. So you got to clean that up.
You said I wasn't going to be good. I said, I just thought you were too skinny in your upper body.
Time to talk right now about ProDunk. You were talking about the push of a button, the raises and lowers the goal.
And sending us to England.
And, well, I'm not sure, Keith. And you know, the family are they're sending us to England.
Everybody who buys a goal gets a ticket to the game?
No, I don't know.
We're not doing that promotion.
We're not doing that promotion. Okay. That has nothing to do with this, actually. What I'm trying to tell you about the ProDunk goal is that it's the best goal. And if the kids want to play, the kids are watching NBA playoffs right now, and they're going, Dad, we want to go outside and play. But look, we have a crappy goal, so nobody wants to play here. How about he getting the best goal in the history of goals? How about getting the one that can raise and lower down to 5 feet so the kids can actually enjoy it? How about the one that will last virtually forever, because it is unbelievable how great the quality of the product in these goals is, second to none, period. Okay, other ones are shaky, and they'll rust, and you won't have the backboard, or you'll need painting and all the stuff that goes along with old rims. Guess what? That doesn't happen with ProDunk. ProDunk will last virtually. It is unbelievable how good it is. So you're looking for the best goal in the history of goals. There's one place to go. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith that you heard it right here.